In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This Lenten season, we are going to devote ourselves to learning once again about the Lord's Supper. There are very few gifts of God that have been so misunderstood as the sacrament of the altar. It's rather strange, but it does actually make sense. That just as the devil attacked our Lord Jesus Christ on earth while he conducted his ministry so long ago, so also the devil continues his attack on Christ. This time, of course, as Christ comes to us here and now in his word and sacrament, that the devil would attack the word of God, our beliefs about the scriptures, but also our thoughts and beliefs about baptism and the Lord's Supper as well. It is important for us to first make a necessary distinction for why we have the word and sacraments and why they become such a priority for us as a congregation, but also as individual Christians. And we must hold on to this distinction of where and when the forgiveness of sins is earned first, and then where and when the forgiveness of sins that our Lord Jesus Christ earned then and there, how our Lord Jesus Christ distributes that same forgiveness here and now. First, the cross. Forgiveness earned then and there. That Christ Jesus' suffering and his death are where and when the full forgiveness of every sin for all people everywhere is earned, once for all. That Jesus does not do anything partial. That Jesus kept all of what the Word of God required of him, what the law of God required of him, of what our guilt demanded for punishment. He did exactly what he said he would do. And his words, "It is finished," really mean what they say. Forgiveness, salvation, eternal life achieved, accomplished. That happened then and there. You, however, live across the world and almost 2 millennia later. You cannot go back to then and there at the cross. And frankly, most of the people at the cross then and there weren't known for being faithful. So our Lord, our blessed Lord and Savior, in keeping with his salvation, where he had to come to us to rescue us, had to come to earth, become our brother in the flesh in order to rescue us, to redeem us. Well, the same Jesus comes to us here and now in a way that is rather simple. The Word and the sacraments which come from that Word. The means of grace. That this is the second part. The first, the distinction that the cross is where forgiveness is fully earned. But the second now is that the means of grace are how Jesus distributes the fruits of his cross. How Jesus then delivers it to us poor sinners who need it and can't obtain it ourselves. So it is fully earned at the cross, and it is fully and freely delivered through time and space to you here and now by his word and his sacraments. And that the multiplicity of these ways, the word and the sacraments, is laid out in the scriptures, and it speaks, of course, of the gracious and the generosity of our God. That you have the word that is preached to you, the word that you read, the word that you hear. You have the word that you hear in the words of absolution. You have the word in the water of holy baptism. And yes, the word along with that bread and that wine in the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Lord's Supper. How generous our God is. This is why we gather for divine service. To receive here and now the forgiveness of sins that Christ earned then and there at the cross, and that forgiveness of sins that Christ promised in his word to give us here and now through those means of grace. And so we gather that the church is about the word and the sacraments because, of course, the church is about its main, chief, primary business, that is the forgiveness of sins. The sacrament of the altar has Christ's promise of the forgiveness of sins. So what is it? We use the word sacrament, which is just an old Latin word. We define it as a sacred thing instituted by Jesus to bless us, a sacred thing that has earthly elements like bread and wine, and then you attach the word of Christ, the word of promise to it, and then we believe and we know then that it is his body and his blood because he says so, and that its purpose is to be given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins, that you'd receive such things by eating and drinking and believing it. And just as he is not a symbolic Savior or a representative of God, but a true Savior and true God in and of himself, so also his word is true. He does not lie. He doesn't deceive us. That's the devil's trick, not Jesus's. He says, "This is my body." And so we believe it is. He says, "This is my blood." And we believe then. It is. Now the mind will get up caught up in all kinds of things. It will ask questions like, how can this happen? How can this be? But I would warn you, don't fall into that trap. The ways of God are higher than our ways. His word was what created everything, and his word, of course, does exactly what it says, even if it means that bread and wine are also then the body and blood of Jesus. There is body and there is blood. We celebrated this at Christmas, that Christ became flesh, that this truth is confessed in the supper as well, that there is really, truly, Christ's body there, that there is really, truly Christ's blood there, right there. From that altar to the rail where you receive it, it is placed into your hands or onto your tongues, and it is poured into your mouths. You hear the words of promise from Matthew tonight or today that tell us this is his body, this is his blood. And you also then hear the lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, which confirms to you that, yes, the scriptures also still speak of it as bread and wine. And so we let the word of the Lord stand. We need not try to improve upon it or try to make God make sense to us. But instead it is an act of faith and self-control to tell our minds to hush in the face of this mystery and our desire to always have everything make human sense to us. Christians have failed in this in so many times, in so many ways. Some, of course, in relation to the Lord's Supper, believe the bread and wine are no longer even there, that it's only the body and blood, but of course that's not in line with what you heard from 1 Corinthians 10. Some will believe that the bread and wine only represent or are symbolic of the body and the blood of Jesus. But that's not in line with what you just heard from Matthew chapter 26, much less the other three different accounts of the institution of the Lord's Supper. No, the Bible teaches that this is Christ's body and blood. They are really there, and yet also is the bread and the wine. And indeed, it ought to be wine, because grape juice was not invented until 1800 years later, and the scriptures make it clear in the way they speak and the words they use that wine is what's used. So what is the supper? A sacrament. His body and his blood under the bread and the wine instituted by Christ Jesus. It's his supper. Also a warning to not tinker with his words. But it is given for us Christians to eat and to drink. Yes, it's exclusive. The word of God is for all. It is to be preached to every soul, believer, unbeliever alike. Baptism is for those who are brought to it or desire it. And the supper is then for those who are instructed, examined, and confess the doctrine taught in the Scriptures. That there are indeed distinctions to be made between the means of grace. That God is so overly generous with us. This shows who our God is, this gracious and loving and generous God. But that also these gifts do have their own distinctions. That this, the Lord's Supper, is Christ's gift for Christians along the way. It is for those who are instructed or catechized, that there is a fellowship, a participation, as it's called in 1 Corinthians 10. There's a fellowship involved. And so there's a requirement then, as we also hear from 1 Corinthians, of a single-mindedness on the things of Christ. Agreement on his teaching, his doctrine. That there is indeed, this is for disciples. A disciple is one who's been baptized in the name of the triune God and taught all things that Jesus handed over in truth. That as disciples gather together, there ought to be, of course, a oneness of belief, as the supper is going to be the highest point, the highest outward profession of our confession of the unity that Jesus has given us, that the Holy Spirit has worked among us. And this is indeed how we as Christians come together to receive this great gift from Jesus. So what is the sacrament of the altar? It's God's way of getting the forgiveness of sins from that cross of Jesus 2,000 years ago, halfway around the world, to you here in Cheyenne in 2023. It is a gift of grace. It is the way that he has chosen to deliver all that Jesus earned to you here and now. It is his same body and his same blood that were given and shed for you, that are given to you in the supper. And with those things of Jesus, with his body and his blood, comes the forgiveness of sins. And because sins are forgiven, there is no longer death but life. And because there is no more sin, there is no more condemnation. Thus, there is only salvation. How can this be? The Bible says so. That's how. Just as God said in the beginning, let there be, and there was, so Jesus says, this is, and it is. And Jesus never lies. In fact, as God, he can't lie. And that's great news for us, because it means we can take him and we can trust him at his word. Take, eat, drink of it. Given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.